Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and today we're going to discuss seven spiritual keys of deliverance. Number one, deliverance comes to those who aren't afraid. In Exodus 14:13, in the New International Version, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." The quickest way for our enemies to defeat us is to allow fear to grip our heart and our thoughts. Fear presses you toward making wrong decisions instead of God-inspired ones. The best thing to do when we're faced with fear is to step back until we can regain our peace. Make no decisions until we have a calm spirit. We already know the devil pushes and the Lord leads, but we need to remember that in the heat of the moment. Fear itself should tell us we need to be careful about moving forward. Last year, we read a do not fear or a fear not scripture every day. The opposite of fear is not necessarily faith, but peace. In Psalm 34:14, it says to seek peace and pursue it. Number two, recognize where your deliverance comes from. It's not what we don't know, but what we need to be reminded of often. Lots of Christians read Psalm 91 when they need to be reminded that we are protected and delivered. Psalm 91:3 says, "Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And there are numerous scriptures that assure us of deliverance. In Psalm 34:4, it says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And in Psalm 32:7, it says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." There are also a lot of scriptures that don't use the actual word, deliverance, but the meaning is technically the same. Like in 1 John 4:4, where it says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." That is protection and deliverance. But we need to speak scriptural words of deliverance. Often the difference between victory and defeat, maybe personal captivity or immediate deliverance, begins with the words of our mouth. How often do we talk about that? Our destiny is not determined by what we do or just by what we do. It's often determined by what we say as well. Ponder these five verses. Matthew 12:37, Message Bible. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. And in Proverbs 12:14, Contemporary English Version, we are rewarded or punished for what we say and do. In Proverbs 18:20, very well known, Amplified Bible says, "A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and the consequences of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil." And Proverbs 18:21, this in the Message Bible, "Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." When we start to change how we think, it will go a long way on changing how we speak. Because if we can fill our hearts with the promises and the revelation of the Word of God, out of that abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak first. In Proverbs 18:20, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "Make your words good. You will be glad you did." Words matter. God created the universe with words. The Bible says Jesus is the Word. Number three, deliverance comes when you get out in front of your battle by praising the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:17 in the New International Version tells the story of, victory for the Israelites under King Jehoshaphat. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. We position ourselves for victory over our enemies by getting out in front of our battles. King Jehoshaphat positioned the children of Israel for victory by seeking God and sending the praisers out before the battle. The way to ensure a victory, really, in every situation, is to start praising the Lord. Praise Him for what He's already done in your life, whether when you enter His presence with praise and thanksgiving. Really, the host of heaven are unleashed to battle on your behalf. If you're not feeling like it, then make a sacrifice of praise, meaning start praising God anyway. Feelings are that, just that, feelings. Our words of praise are based on God's truth. A few days ago now, I mentioned making a journal of praise reports. Look, when the enemy tries to make you think God hasn't done anything for you lately, pull out that journal and it will make the devil catch the first bus out of town. And it will also make your spirit soar as you remember all the great things God's already done for you. Number four, where do you go for deliverance when things get rough? Psalm 32:7 says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. When things get tough, our first thoughts should not be calling our best friend or the most wonderful saint you know, even if it's your mama. The Bible says and calls the Holy Spirit our comforter for a reason. He's not only a comforter. It says He's a counselor. It says He's a helper. He is our earthly contact to the heavenly realm. How do you think He feels when we leave Him out? The Lord is our refuge and our hiding place. When we're in His presence, the enemy can see you, but he can't get to you because you are protected by the majesty of God's presence. Number five, the keys to your deliverance. In Philippians 1:19 in the New Living Translation, it says, For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Prayer changes things. It's a powerful, guaranteed vehicle for changing the course of every battle we face. When we pray, we're no longer fighting our battles alone. We're calling in the cavalry, the host of heaven, to do battle on our behalf. When we follow the unction of the Holy Spirit, we will make right decisions instead of ones based on human logic and emotions. As we seek His direction for the next step we take, talk with Him, commune with Him about the path, it will become more clear and our deliverance will be at hand. Remember when we read about Elijah yesterday in James 5:16-17? It says he was a man with a nature just like ours, but he prayed it wouldn't rain and it didn't for years. Look, we need to remember that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much and is dynamic in its working. Number six, deliverance can come to the hardest of hearts and heads. Isaiah 46:12 in the Message Bible. You got to love the Message Bible. Isaiah 46:12 says, Now listen to me. You're a hard-headed bunch and hard to help. I'm ready to help you right now. Deliverance is not a long-range plan. Salvation isn't on hold. I'm putting salvation to work in Zion now and glory in Israel. I can remember many, many, many years ago now praying for my parents to be saved. They were raised back in the day when the majority of parents at least raised their children to be good. They went to church because it was the right thing to do. And I remember thinking that they were more godly than some of the folks that were actually born again, and I knew they were born again. I've learned from experience that people who are out and out sinners are much more aware of the wrong that they're doing than those who think they are doing all right. The Lord spoke to me during a church service one time and told me my parents were among the hardest to reach. It wasn't that God could not reach them. He was warning me. because they were actually both born again before they died. But it was a powerful truth to know and understand, especially in witnessing to people that are, well, really on the edge of disaster. Sometimes we're reluctant to talk to drug addicted people or people who brag on how much they party. But I have really learned over the years they're the easiest ones to reach. They know they're doing wrong. But one of the things we can always do is pray. It is an underrated form of communication that does a lot of changing in people's lives. We can ask the Lord to put people in their paths who can speak a word in season, to convict their hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection around them until the blinders come off and the shackles of bondage fall down. It is available to whosoever will, but we can help facilitate who and what they listen to. 7, a deliverance that ensures total victory. Psalm 37:39 in the Message Bible, 37:39 says, "The spacious, free life is from God. It's also protected and safe. God's strengthened. We're delivered from evil. When we run to Him, He saves us." No matter how bad the problem or intense the battle, the Creator of heaven and earth can deliver us from every evil attack of the enemy. And the Bible is full of examples. We recently talked about perseverance. Sometimes we grow weary in the battle. But if we could see this in the spirit realm, we would know that there are more for us than there are against us. We need to remember our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Our real enemy is not our next door neighbor, our boss, or even our spouse. We need to be sure we're fighting our battle with the right weapons. Hopefully, really, I'd like to talk about this on an upcoming program call. But for now, we need to move along. Have a tremendous Tuesday. And don't forget to keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we appreciate you. Have a blessed day.